Hello there, this is Crystal, and you're listening to the Crystal Archive podcast.
Welcome to the Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 25. I'm your host, Mr. Crystal, and we sadly don't have a co-host today. This podcast was recorded on June 19th, 2010, and I want to start out by apologizing. The audio quality may not be where it was in the last episode because I'm not using my headphone-based microphone. I'm instead using my laptop's built-in microphone, and that leads to slightly lower quality. It probably sounds like I'm echoing in here. Also, you might hear my neighbors in a few minutes talking outside or walking around, but it's better than the very, very annoying clicking that the headphone microphone does sometimes, and I was unable to fix, so I decided this was the best solution for now. We'll see what happens next episode as far as Microsoft's microphones go. So, it's been a long time since the last podcast. Number 24 was in April or March, I believe. Really long time. There's been a lot of news on the site, and as is traditional, I'm going to go through that old news first. And there's a lot to cover, and not just there, but there's a ton of new news due to the length of time since the last podcast. So, let's begin. The first thing I posted after the previous podcast was that Ken Singshow got back to me and posted a bunch of photos from a photo shoot with Ayano as she did her Crystal cosplay. That was back when they got back to Japan from further confusion. Ayano created quite a stir in the Crystal cosplaying community, and was probably one of the best Crystal cosplays to ever show up, ever, really. But he also got me a video at my request. So we get to see Ayano walking around and spinning her staff a bit. Rabbit in the Moon also uploaded her videos, a montage of the videos she had from Further Confusion. So that was a nice addition. Shortly after that, I did a fan art update, and after doing that, I came up with 210 traditional new fan arts and 119 rendered fan arts total. So this is all added together, and it's quite a big fan art update. But the good thing about this new fan art update was that I was using my new fan art recording system, and it actually saved me a bunch of work. I actually was able to do the entire fan art update in a matter of 2 days, and I was only spending a couple of hours in those 2 days doing that fan art. So Perl scripts are very, very powerful if you know how to write them. They can do almost all the work for you, which I hope I'll be using shortly for the next update, but that's in a bit. The next thing I posted was that BlackBerry, out of the blue, sent me this wonderful Crystal fan art, showing her appreciation for the Crystal Archive and the dedicated work that I've done over the years for the character of Crystal. And the photo is Crystal holding up glowing physical representations of what the Crystal Archive's pages look like. And I thought it was really cool. She later posted that on her own DeviantArt page. So you can see that on there, or you can go back in the old news of the Crystal Archive and find it there. I posted, at long last, three wallpapers submitted by site visitors, including Chrono Reaper, Ayama-chan, and Star Fox Runner. And I've had these wallpapers at the time I posted them for probably months, but I hadn't gotten around to posting them. Well, I got that done. So they're in the download section. The next thing I posted was a furry spy showed up at Furry Fiesta 2010, which is back in February, and proceeded to cause mayhem for unsuspecting furries. You see, the spy from Team Fortress 2 to trick other players, I believe it's from your team's perspective, you can see him holding a piece of paper above his face to make him look like whatever he's mimicking. But to the other team, he looks like what they're mimicking, the whole model, not just a piece of paper. So this was a guy wearing a mask and a business suit and gloves, and he had taped over his face a picture of Crystal. And he proceeded to walk around the show and get loads of laughs. Sentries were sapped, fursuiters were stabbed, and fun was had by all. Next, I started posting all the fan films I had on backlog. There was something like 12 or 15 of them, which I did over the course of a couple weeks, I believe. Next, my favorite holiday my favorite holiday for the internet, April Fool's Day 2010, was a smashing success where Panther Caruso took over the Crystal Archive and came complete with a purple-based theme with Panther in the header grabbing hold of Crystal, and a picture of Fox holding Crystal with Panther's face taped over Fox. And I had to think creatively and write a nice letter as if from Panther, and I felt dirty after doing so. It was very, very, very mushy. But that was fun. That was a lot of fun to do. The next thing I updated was I made a preview post for the Saurian Translator version 7, something I've been working on in my non-existent spare time, just to keep me from losing my sanity working on the thesis all the time. So I decided to mess with the Saurian Translator, and I came up with a bunch of new features and improvements to the underlying design. Let me go through those real quick. Oh, and I'm using two computers here because my laptop is actually more powerful than my desktop now. And so I'm actually recording this on the laptop, and my computer, my desktop, has the information on it. So I'm kind of looking back and forth. So forgive me my voice changing volume for that. So the new Saurian Translator, which you can preview at saurian.crystalarchive.com/7, features a completely new visual style, very shiny, very round, very web 2.0. It features animated sliding areas for the different parts. The show pronunciation and show debug modes slide out from their hidden locations below the other text boxes. I've removed the text for English and Saurian and placed them purely in the background of the text area, and that works very nicely. I even put some text shadows on those. I'm adding Saurian translation, the single greatest requested feature. It's not done yet. That's probably the major thing that's not done yet, is I haven't finished my language-based analysis of all the cutscenes from Adventures. I'm about halfway through with that. But once that's done, I'll be able to encode the language's rules, and then based on a Saurian phrase, I can tell you with a certain degree of accuracy what it should sound like. I've also created a better way for doing proper nouns. Previously, you put the tilde character in front of every single word you wanted to remain the same, which would be a proper noun. That is changed now to surrounding it with backslashes. So the word or phrase you want to not be translated, you surround with backslashes, or I should say forward slashes. They're forward slashes, not backslashes. But anyway, You're surrounded with those. It tells you on the site exactly what they are. And then it will do whole words and phrases rather than having to do it for every single word. And I think it'll be easier on everybody. It's certainly easier to encode. I have fixed a bunch of bugs, and I changed the way it works. Well, I'll get into that in a minute. I auto-focus the English box, so as soon as you load the page, it should go straight to the English translation box. You won't have to move the cursor. It'll automatically be there, ready for you to type or paste something in. I have put in a logical tab control. So whenever you push tab, you go directly to the next box, and you don't get these other text links or anything else that you don't want to see. It'll go straight to the from English to Saurian and then back to your browser, so you don't have to worry about that. And I messed with some stuff underlying the code to make the page load faster. I've managed to get the whole page to load in something like a 20th of a second, 2/10 of a second. And I've been studying these new web design techniques and JavaScript-based techniques in order to do that. So that is an accomplishment for me because it's a back-end thing. It helps me learn about web design and application design. So that brings me over into the application behind-the-scenes stuff. So first of all, I rewrote the JavaScript engine significantly. It works completely differently, and now it's compliant with the way JavaScript is supposed to work. So it's actually a much, much, much nicer JavaScript. And as a result, even though I'm doing more work, it's actually about the same speed. I also changed the way that the translations occurred so that each operation is atomic. It's only operating on one piece of data at once. And it's not trying to do more than one operation at once. For example, in the previous version, when we were doing translation, as it was going through, it would do in real time try and figure out where the proper nouns were in its automatic proper noun detection as it was translating. Whereas now, it first goes through the entire string that you're trying to translate, finds the proper nouns that it's going to try and figure out that they're proper nouns, and goes ahead and marks them as proper nouns. So then when I'm done with that, I go back into the program, and then it sends it to the translation function, which only translates. And that doesn't have to worry about whether or not something may or may not be a proper noun. It's only caring about, does it have the forward slash, or should I just translate it normally? And so that kind of translation system will actually makes it more stable and cleaner, and it will allow me to add more features in the future without having to do major code redesign, which is great for maintenance. I've decided to no longer support Internet Explorer 6. So if you still use Internet Explorer 6, you need to join the year 2000 and get a better browser. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It could even be the new Internet Explorer. That should work. Although I don't know that I've tested it on all more recent versions of Internet Explorer 7. I'm definitely not supporting IE6. But otherwise, you can try Firefox, Opera, Chrome, or Safari. And right now, the Internet being what it is, I would recommend either Chrome or Safari in terms of speed and ability. Back in stuff, there's more stuff. This is not implemented yet, but I'm going to have server-side compression and caching, which should make the loading time of the site even faster than that, especially on repeat visits. And finally, this is done. I'm using a single image for the entire website. All the images you see and all the images I'm using in the layout are actually one giant image. And that's not really meaningful to you unless you've done websites. Because it's one single image, I actually only have to load once. And I basically can start loading. When you start loading the web page, it's trying to load as many things as it can in parallel, but it has a limit of maybe 4 or 6 things it can load at the same time. Well, because I only have an HTML file, a CSS file, a JavaScript file, that leaves only one more space for one more object. So I've added an image as a single other file. And as a result, the whole site can load in parallel. That's what leads to that higher speed, along with other features. So that's enough about the Saurian translator. I'm sorry it's taking me so long with the pronunciation, but I want to make sure I'm doing it just perfectly right. So let's move back to the old updates. So, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Gadonstroyum sent me a picture of his work in progress Star Fox Adventures crystal model rip, complete with textures. And this looks to be the most original looking crystal mesh ever, because it's basically the one from Adventures. He, as far as I can tell, did rip it from the game, and then he had to clean it up. So I'm still waiting for him to finish and send me the new version, and hopefully we can post that very soon. On March 1st, Crystal placed number 10 in the list of top 10 babes who are out of your league by GT Countdown. Unlike the previous video feature about Crystal, I believe it was Top 10 Babes in Leather, this video is actually accurate in everything it says, for the most part, about Crystal. It was not just full of errors like the other one was, so I was happy about that. Crystal placed number 10, and she is definitely unattainable by all of us, sad though it may be. Moving on, Xeon Dude sent me someone else sent me Xeon Dude's work on the first ever Crystal Brawl texture hack. And it's weird, because it's putting Crystal's texture on Fox, and it just doesn't look right yet. But he's still working on it, he's working on new versions, and he's just got to modify the mesh, and it should look a lot more natural. Because right now it looks like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but it's very bulky. Because you basically, he textured a skin-tight suit over clothing, and that just doesn't work out. Felicia22X has been sending me a bunch of new things recently, and one of those is a custom crystal persona for Firefox. Now, Firefox, the new version of Firefox, has this feature called personas, which are just a way of quickly and easily modifying the appearance of the browser. And this is a crystal-themed one, so you can imagine it's got crystal in the title bar and stuff like that. The first crystal papercraft appeared. And this was a while back. I was unaware that it had been posted online, but the person goes by Tetris or Ignatius. I couldn't tell who was the photographer and who was the one who built the mesh, the papercraft. They made this papercraft, which is the model from Super Smash Bros. Brawl, made entirely out of paper. It's about a foot tall, very nice looking. And I want to do this myself, but I guess I'm not going to be the first. So that's cool. I believe other people are working on that as well. And finally, E3 came and went, and bringing lots of new surprises and even a hint of Star Fox. And let me just briefly talk about the show itself. Now, I was unable to attend. I was unable to attend the E3 showing this year. I probably could have gotten in if I had tried hard enough, but I was really busy with other things, so I decided to let this one go. And now that I think about it, it probably would have been a really great one to go to, even with all the work, but the past is the past, and I can't do anything about that, so I'm not going to worry about it. What I did do, though, however, is I paid very close attention to the internet. I watched blogs, I watched Nintendo's showcase on e3.nintendo.com, and their showing was amazing. They had they just brought everything. They brought everything in one show. They brought the new Zelda. They got the Mario Sports. They've got this amazing new Kirby game called Kirby Epic Yarn. I'm not sure where the name comes from, but it is... it's a game after my own heart, because it's Kirby, which means it's simple but complex platforming with a cute environment. That's something I love. But also, it uses this amazing yarn and fabric-based rendering techniques. And this is exactly the sort of thing I've been studying in my thesis research, non-photorealistic rendering. And this is quite possibly the best example I've ever seen of a non-photorealistically rendered game done well. Because Wind Waker is cool, but that's nothing compared to Kirby's Epic Yarn in terms of different styles. Everything is described in terms of yarn, fabric, and buttons. Literally, that is everything that you'll see there. Well, maybe a few effects like fire or whatever, but other than that, it's all as if you're walking along a patchwork quilt almost. Oh, I can't stop gushing about that. In fact, speaking of NPR, the new Zelda game has more of a, they call it an impressionistic feel. And it's not the most artistically based rendering technique, but it's much more artistically based than Twilight Princess, for example, which was highly realistic. There's also Epic Mickey had its first real showing, you know, where you could actually see the mechanic. And I think this might have been the first time we get to see a video of it. And Epic Mickey has you using ink to create and destroy objects from the world. And it's a very interesting mechanic. I can't wait to see what they do with that. So that's a game to look forward to. They also have Golden Sun. I played the first Golden Sun game, and I haven't gotten to play the second, but Golden Sun for this new one looks like it's going to be really good because it's also 3D, not just 2D, so it'll have much nicer graphics. I'm going to look quickly over here to the other games because I can't remember them all. We already knew about Metroid Other M. I'm really excited about that. And the new Donkey Kong Returns. Donkey Kong Country Returns. I really like that because you're going back to this 2D style of gameplay, which some game characters just lend themselves well to. So I'll probably get that game as well. There were a few other games, but those were kind of below the hardcore gamer radar. Although if you're super into party games or Pokemon, there's a couple other games for you on the Wii. There's, for the Nintendo 3DS, which was a big announcement in itself, let me talk about that briefly. So I don't know if we got to talk about this last time, but Nintendo announced, I believe it was actually on my birthday, March 23rd, that Nintendo released, out of the blue, a press release saying that the next Nintendo game handheld system will be the 3DS, and that it will feature 3D technology that does not require glasses. Now, there was a lot of debate about what that exactly meant, but from the description, I basically came to the conclusion of what it turned out to be, and that is, the screen has a set of prisms and slats in it that allow light to pass through at different degrees that are slightly offset, so that from the distance, you're seeing the console. The screen to one eye looks different from the screen to the other eye in such a way that it's exactly offset the amount that you need to create a three-dimensional effect. And from what we've heard of reports from people who've actually got to play the game, is that viewing the 3DS screen in 3D mode is as if the 3DS is a window on an actual 3D world, and a couple of objects may be able to pop off of the screen, but only just barely. I'm sure that that's just a matter of programming. They can actually make it pop out as much as they want. It's a matter of how great they vary the degrees and how strongly they make the 3D effect programmatically. So with that, they showed off a couple of games, including Kid Icarus Uprising, which is the first Kid Icarus in, I think it was 15, 20 years. I think the last one was on the Game Boy. It's very, very old, very near and dear to Nintendo fans' hearts. I've never actually played it, but from what I've seen, it's very similar to Metroid gameplay. And that game was playable, and I believe it was playable. It was the only real video we got to see of the 3DS's video graphical capabilities. And the reason is because Nintendo basically kept people from looking at the other... They kept people from recording the screen. They did not want people recording the screen because you can't record it. Not really. Because it's got the 3D effect. If you were to try and record it with a single camera, what happens is it looks blurry. And they probably didn't want that negative impression, so they just said, no video, just experience it and tell other people about it. And of course, you can turn the 3D effect off. There's a slider on the side. But for whatever reason, they decided not to show off gameplay of any other game. But regardless, everyone loved it. Everyone thought it was just amazing. And the fact that you didn't have to wear glasses was really a seller for this technology. They have a couple other games. Nintendogs plus Cats was another big one from Nintendo. And there's somehow they're going to do this Solid Snake, Metal Gear Solid Snake, Snake Eater 3D, excuse me. It's a game that looks as good as a late generation PlayStation 2 or better than Wii graphics, but that might just be cutscenes. The same with this Resident Evil game. Now, as far as Nintendo is concerned, they're really throwing everything they have at this. We're getting a new Animal Crossing, a new Mario Kart, a new Pilot Wings, which is another game that's near and dear to a lot of Nintendo fans' hearts. We're also getting remakes of The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time and Star Fox 64. Now these two games are amazing because they're not just ports, they're actual remakes. From what little we've seen, they come with complete graphical overhauls. Both games look stunningly good. Forget about the 3D effect. They have HD textures and much better higher quality meshes. So that's something to be excited about. And I'm going to talk about Star Fox in a bit. Oh, and one other one. There's a new Paper Mario coming out for the 3DS. So that's looking really good. There's even some really weird games coming to the 3DS that you wouldn't expect to be possible on the 3DS, something this small. I think they're redoing Kingdom Hearts. I'm not sure if it's going to be a new Kingdom Hearts or a remake of the first or second. They are doing a little game you might have heard of called Super Street Fighter 4. And what's amazing about this is, to an untrained eye, you can't tell the difference between this and the PlayStation 3's version. Now, I can see it, and I'm sure some of you can too, but just looking at it briefly, you'd say, wow, look at those graphics. What they're doing is a trick. It's a trick that makes it look higher quality than it actually is. Basically, because of the way that the regular Super Street Fighter 4 looks, it already has kind of an artistic shader. So, oh. And there's just not enough I can say to gush about this conference. There's so much happened. And as I said before, Golden Sun, Dark Dawn is coming out, which I'm looking forward to as well. There's way more games than I'm going to have time to play in a single year, probably. Which is fortunate, because some of them aren't coming out until next year. But that'll give me time to catch up on my old play. So, before I leave this section, let me just briefly talk more specifically about Star Fox 64... 3D, as it's called. So Star Fox 64 3D is, again, the same game. It is Star Fox 64, one of the best, if not the best, Star Fox game ever. And in my opinion, it is the greatest Star Fox game ever. I don't care that Crystal is not in it, because to me, I think more in terms of the gameplay. You know, having this awesome, beautiful character there is great, but in terms of actual gameplay, I think I'm going to be playing this game a lot. However, as I said, it's going to have HD textures, higher resolution, everything, and there was some indirect discussion about some other features that the game will have that the original didn't. Something about possibly communication, which to me says perhaps online multiplayer, which would be great. Or it could also mean one of ideas I've had, which is some kind of team-based command system where you actually command different team members to do different actions at certain critical parts of the level. I don't know if that's really going to be in there, but that could be there. I don't know. And as I said before, when people were talking about playing Star Fox 64 3D, they said that the effect of the 3D was as if you're looking at a model of the R-Wing, like a little bitty model of the R-Wing, flying through a modeled space. Kind of like, and they didn't say this, but I get the impression they mean something like a miniature train set, where everything is in miniature, but in high detail. And they said that when an enemy came up behind him, the enemy would, you could really see the depth. You could actually see it behind the ship. You could tell exactly how far behind the ship it was, and how far in front of you the other targets were. And they said that the ship that shows up behind you, that was one of the few things that actually felt like it popped out of the screen, rather than just being in this 3D window effect. So that's all I know about it. They don't really have any information. But, you know, we'll wait. Maybe we'll get a trailer or some commercials soon. We'll see. So that covers all of the new news all of the old news since last time. Now we're going to get into the even bigger part of the podcast, the new news. And as you can imagine, there's a ton of stuff because I've been away from the podcast so long. So let's jump right in to the new news. So, as some of you know, now that, you know, this day is over and you're listening to this podcast, you've gotten emails back from me after emailing me probably months ago. Well, I'm finally getting around to updating or going through all my old emails and actually responding to people and making a list of things to do based on that information. I sent out a total of 63 emails today, and I can actually see the bottom of my inbox now, but there's still a ways to go. I've still got a few of you to reply to and a lot of things to update and post, which I'll be talking about in just a minute. But and this is not all. There's actually a few more. I actually had to stop doing emails because I wanted to do this podcast before, you know, I had to go to sleep. So that's why I haven't answered all of you yet, but rest assured I'm working on it. So to make things easier, I've divided the new news into sections, basically sections of the website, so it's easier to understand, you know, where things are going and what I'm talking about. I'm talking about each section individually. And let's start with something that's had a lot of news lately, and that is cosplay. So as far as the Crystal Cosplay section is concerned, we have this news. First, Cat the Leopardess emailed me a while back saying that she sent the photos we have of that very first Japanese-based cosplayer of Crystal through a photo information extractor. And she got back that the date the photo was recorded by the camera as July 5th, 2003. Now combine that with one of the logos in the previous picture, I was able to determine that this photo was taken on the first day of Japan Expo, a convention that occurs every year in Paris, France, not Japan, as it turns out. I tried to email the original photographer of this cosplayer, and the email bounced, which means I have no contact with the original person. So I can't really do anything about that, but now we know a little bit more. We know exactly when and where the cosplay happens. Maybe from there we can use that to find out who this person was. Next, I need to make a page for Mew, who, if you recall, actually made a Crystal Cosplay attempt, but it's still a work in progress. She's still working on it, as far as I can tell. And she's made several updates since then, including finishing the mask, finishing the clothing, and more recently, she's actually got the full body blue suit. As far as I can tell, she doesn't have the loincloth yet. But I do need to make a page for her, since it looks like she's going through with it, and she's going to have that ready to go soon enough. So, and of course, because I need to make a page for her, I also need to update these. I need to make an update post to show the changes that she's made. A friend of mine, who's I've been in constant contact with for a few months, we've been talking back and forth about technology and furry topics and Crystal in general. He is planning to attend Further Confusion in 2011, which is January. And he is a digital camera, digital video editing professional, sort of professional guy. And he is interested in being the official cameraman for the Crystal Archive, particularly to get videos of Ayano, who is going to be at Further Confusion as Crystal again this year. And possibly, you know, to record other Crystal cosplayers that may or may not show up. Well, he's not going to record cosplayers that are not going to show up, but if any do show up other than Ayano, he'll probably get videos of those. And I talked to Ken Singh's show about this and about whether Ayano would be interested in doing some kind of like a video adventure, like her imitate some scenes from Star Fox Adventures or something like that. And he said that Ayano might be interested. So we may yet get some really cool action sequences with a very realistic looking Crystal. So I look forward to that. Felicia 22X has been making progress on a cosplay of his own, or her own. I'm actually not sure. But they started with a life-size papercraft head of Crystal based on the Brawl trophy, and have been doing some kind of plastering around that to create a hard shell to make this full-sized Crystal head. And from there, they'll work on it. And I need to post photos and info for this. I just haven't had time yet, but they're making progress on this. Next, the next section outside of cosplay, fan games. So on Star Fox Online recently, someone posted a new Crystal Sackgirl for Little Big Planet. So I'll be posting about that soon. New versions of the Crystal Texture and Mesh Hack for Brawl are now available. So I need to look that up. Some people have been applying the Crystal Texture to, I believe, Zero Suit Samus, which looks a bit nicer than Fox McCloud. And, or I think they are. And just need to keep track of that because there's more and more versions coming out all the time. Two people named Valthor and Vampire are attempting to modify Nanogar's crystal model to work with Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. Their email address is Frank, F-R-A-N-K, and then j423@gmail.com. So FRANKTJ423@gmail.com. They are looking for an assistant modeler to help them with the process, but they're working on it. Next, Attack 1942 found a new, much more realistic crystal model for the program IMVU, which is, as I understand it, a online 3D chat program. The creator of this model is called Dragon Master Lex. So, I'm going to post about that soon enough. I also have a couple of new instances of a Sims 2 and a Get Amped skins featuring Crystal I need to post. And that's it for fan games, fan texturing, whatever. Next, 3D projects. As I mentioned, Gadonstrium emailed me the preview of that Adventures Rip, and I'm still waiting for the final version so I can post that. Inky84 sent me a preview of a crystal model he's making that is for Star Fox 64. He actually ripped the mesh from Star Fox 64 of Fox McCloud and has been retexturing and reworking the mesh to look more like Crystal. He sent me a picture of the progress he's made, and so I'm going to post that. And finally, in this section, Vixen Tamer is working on his own Crystal model. It's still a work in progress as of 3 months ago, but it's looking fairly nice. It's a simple but effective Crystal model. And I apologize, my computer's getting hot, the fan is spinning up, so you're going to start to hear some noise in the background. So I can't really do anything about that right now. Next, fan fiction. Listen up, everyone. I need your help. There are a ton of new fanfics that I need reviewed, and I don't have any reliable fanfiction reviewers. I need people who can take one or two fanfics, read them through, and provide me with a review and a thumbs up, thumbs down about whether to include the fic on the site. I need volunteers. If you're interested, email me immediately at mrcrystal@gmail.com. Otherwise, as I said, lots of fan fictions to post, but I just can't post any until I get them reviewed. Next, fan art. Last night, I managed to go through all of the new fan arts since March, and I need to run them through my organization system, which runs through Perl. And if all goes well, I should be able to finish it quickly, within the next week or so. However, DeviantArt has changed the way their pages work, and I don't know if my scripts will still work the same way. If not, then before I can update the site with new fan art, I'll have to fix my scripts to handle the new pages. Next, donations. Thanks to Completely Anonymous, El Diego 08, and Scorpion 03 for your generous donations. Another person is in the process of sending in a donation, and I thank you all. And all of you previous donators for your support and just being plain awesome. So thank you again for your donations. I plan to put them to good use in time. Next, fan films. I have lots of them. Like at the state of the last podcast, I've got a list of potential fan films to post, and some of them are appropriate and some of them are not, but I don't know yet because I haven't had time to watch them all the way through and, you know, review them. So I'm going to go through them and do some kind of daily update like I did last time. Oh, and one other thing about fan films. If you type in the keyword Crystal in a YouTube search, two of the first three hits are about our beloved Vixen and not some other semi-attractive human girl. And one of those videos is mine, the one called A Girl Like That. So I'm super, super happy that that was considered to be one of the greatest videos of Crystal, that it's so popular that people have decided, or I guess it's based on the number of people who liked it, because I can't think of any other reason. It's not my most viewed video. So there you go. Next, audio. A person named Hakun emailed me with a method to record the voice clips from Star Fox Assault without the background music. You simply, while emulating the game, rename the BGM folder, which has all the music in it. The game won't be able to find the files it needs to play, and after that, when you record the game, you'll only have the speech and the sound effects. You won't have the music in the background. Hakun also said he was working on a way to get rid of the sound effects. So he didn't have... He didn't have a way to do that yet, but he's working on it. I don't have the ability to research this because my computer's not fast enough to run these emulators. But if any of you out there are interested, if you can figure out a way to remove the sound effects and just get the voice acting clips, no matter how you do it, I don't care. You can email me about it, and if you successfully get me all the audio or find a way for me to do it, from Assault, you'll get $50, because that is the bounty I placed on that thing. Anyway, you know what? I've got a clip of it, actually. He sent me a preview, and let me play it for you now.
Well, Fox, looks like we're not too late.
Yep, of course, General.
It's just so crazy. I can't believe Andross had so darn many troops left behind. They're almost all common scum, in it for the money.
They're quite dedicated for a bunch of hired guns.
The leader of this rebellion is none other than Oikony.
Okay, I see now. So we're here because...
We're here because we gotta put this creep on ice.
Yes, you must take him down. I'm counting on you. Now get prepped and go.
Let's go, team.
So that's what it sounds like without the music. The briefing stages don't really have sound effects, but the actual stages do. That's why it's so important to figure out how to get rid of the sound effects. Once that happens, we can get the full voice clips for Crystal and Assault. Next. Remember how I found Estelle Ellis a few years ago and was going to interview her for the podcast and stuff like that? Kind of like what I did with Alessia Gladwell? Well, I got kind of busy, and you know what? I'm going to try and contact her again and see if she's still willing to do an interview. And hopefully so. Next. There was an error when I created the Crystal Brawl cameo video, so I need to redo it. I also need to create a video page for Crystal in Brawl, which we don't have one yet. It was an oversight on my part. I found a new device that should be able to get me higher resolution video than I currently have on the website. Right now we're using 480i interlaced, and that's the maximum that mine can do. However, there is one device called the Hopage HD PVR, which can record up to 1080i, but includes a mode for 480p, which is the maximum resolution for the Wii and GameCube. This is approximately double quality of what we have on the site right now. 60 full frames per second. And it's relatively cheap, only about $200. I don't even have to get a new computer in order to use it. It's a little box that you plug into your USB, and it does the transcoding on the box and sends the finished file or whatever. Something like that. This plan, I plan to be one of my first purchases once I get a real job and have some money. Next, research. It occurred to me that the GameCube image assets, those textures and the image in the back of the Great Fox that has been debated for years, might be compressed with a simple zlib compression. If so, it would be not too terribly difficult to extract the data once I decode the zlib. It should be in RGB format. From there, I should be able to get the images out, no problem. But that might be a long way off. I'm just putting that out there. Also, a long time back, a person on the internet compiled all of the Dinosaur Planet info there was to be had. Pictures, videos, information even from the Crystal Archive about the decoded ROM data. Well, I haven't had time to go through it, but there's definitely some new Dinosaur Planet Crystal stuff there, and so I need to add that. There's also, I know, some pictures that we don't have because Rare, when they were showcasing the game, I think in 2001, they actually made a full-size Saber and Crystal model that currently sits in their headquarters in Europe. But that's pretty cool. Just to know that that exists, but we'll have pictures of that on the site soon enough. But other than that, as far as images, articles, download sections are concerned, as far as that goes with the website, there's nothing new to report on those. But still, a lot of new stuff to post and update on the site. That's it for new news. We can move on now to Star Fox news. Well, obviously, as I mentioned before, there's Star Fox 64 3D, the new 3DS game, which is a remake of Star Fox 64. And hopefully a good one at that. The next thing in relation to Star Fox news is one of that brings me a bit of pain and sorrow to say, but I have stepped down as the owner, the co-owner, and co-admin of Star Fox Online. I no longer run it, and I no longer update it. They're actually looking for a new staff writer to do my job. So if you're interested in doing my job, go to the forum and post your resume. As for me, there was a disagreement in management and a compromise could not be reached, and so I stepped down voluntarily so that things wouldn't get out of hand. So I'm no longer the owner and all that. Now, I'm still a regular member there. I still post on the forum, and I'm still following its development. And I want to make sure everyone understands that the Crystal Archive, Saurian Translator, Star Fox Command, All the Words, and all of my other websites are not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything in relation to them in regards to this stepping down. I'm going to still update them. They're still going to be online. It has nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, the Crystal Archive forum that we've had for the past few months was hosted on Star Fox Online, and because I was leaving and various other issues involved, that forum has been transformed from Crystal-specific subforum to simply a character forum for discussion of all Star Fox characters. As a result, it's not really the Crystal Archive forum anymore, so I'm going to get rid of that link from the navigation menu. Sorry, guys. I didn't really think that would happen, or I didn't really know what was going to happen with that. But anyway, I'm sorry for those of you who wanted to have a Crystal only forum. There's still the KLA, but for now, that's gone. You can still post there and everything. You can still post about Crystal, no problem. It's just, it's nothing. It's not official anymore. So I hope that doesn't bother you all too badly. Of course, if you've been on the site, the Star Fox Online forums, you know this already, and this transition has already occurred, I think a month ago, actually. And now, other news, unrelated to Star Fox Online or the Crystal Archive. I finished my thesis! I successfully defended my thesis. I turned in the paper. It went amazingly well. No real issues. Everything, I mean, well, there were some issues, but they did not stop me from presenting my thesis and having it successfully passed. I did not even have to make any major changes. I literally had to turn in the paper, and I was done once I defended my thesis in front of my peers and professors. And they unanimously agreed to pass me. So I am now semi-officially a master of computer science, which I'm mostly glad that it's over, but I'm glad to have that degree, except I don't have it in my hands yet, and that's because I don't get it in my hands until they decide to give it to me, and I don't know how long that's going to take, but whatever. I'm done with all I have to do, so I'm happy about that. Of course, immediately after finishing my thesis, I immediately, the next day, in fact, went on vacation to see my family, which I hadn't seen in months. And so that, the thesis and the vacation, is why it's taken me so long to do any kind of major updates on the site or the new podcast. But now I'm back, I'm done with schoolwork, so I'm happy that that's done, and I'm done with my visit, and so I don't have that looming over me anymore. I can work on the Crystal Archive while I'm looking for a job, which is my next major task, but that doesn't take nearly as long every day. And hopefully I get a job soon. I'm expecting to get a job, you know, by the end of the month or midway through the next month, definitely. So that's the reason why I haven't been posting much on the Crystal Archive, or Star Fox Online, or the KLA, or DeviantArt, or any of the other online places I hang out. But I'm slowly working to getting back into that, and this podcast is one of those things. And now, so yeah, that's just it. I'm just looking for a job. Also, I just want to put this out there. Because I'm not working on my schoolwork anymore, I don't have to think about that every time I go to sleep, that, oh, there's more schoolwork to do. Now my mind is free of a whole universe of things to do. And so I'm using that time to begin work on my own ideas, specifically my own game ideas. And that's still in the very early stages, and the first game I'm going to make is not going to be the Star Fox game that I've been thinking about. But that's coming. The first one, however, I think you'll like, but I'm not really going to give any details, but I will say you'll probably enjoy it. And I can't wait to get started working on it. So with that covers all of the news of all kinds. Now, listener email. We got quite a lot of that since last time. So let's begin with a rather long one. Asper Sarnoff writes, I just wanted to have a small chat with you about your latest KA podcast. First off, I really liked having Star Fox Runner in it. No offense to all the podcasts you've done all by yourself. They have all been excellent. But bringing in another guy really drove things forward and gave another dimension to it. I can fully understand it's a lot more organization involved doing it that way, but I hope that you will both have the time and the desire to go through that trouble and do it again from time to time. Secondly, I want to thank you for standing up for all of the poser and Daz renders around the Crystal Archive. I personally don't think of renderers, my own or others, as art. As one of the definitions I have of art is that it can't be 100% accurately recreated using the same technique as the original. And it almost certainly, can't in Poser and Daz Studios. But it is still nice to know that they are appreciated by at least someone and fulfill the purpose I originally made them for. Sorry, I butchered that sentence. Continuing. And now we're coming to the close of the main reason I wanted to talk to you. You dipped quite a bit into the subject of fursuits in the last podcast, and I view you and the view you had and now have on them. I also found the thought of dressing up as something which can be mostly described as football team mascot somewhat weird. But how can any single person, judge what is weird or not? Now that I've actually thought it over, I'm actually starting to see a certain appeal to it. For me, it isn't as much about trying to take steps closer to what creature my inner spirit resembles the most, but rather an interesting challenge to test out my skills in creative craftsmanship and acting. All the detail one has to go through and think through, the obstacles to overcome, the ideas to try, improve, and put into action until it's a finished project stands in front of you. A piece of work that will have cost a lot of work, time, thinking, and money, but one that you can be really proud of. I might end up giving it a go myself one day, when my schedule and wallet allows for a little more room to play around with. And I would like to hear what you've actually thought and planned of this so far, if there is a certain character you would try and replicate, and how you would go about doing it, etc. Well, that's quite a long email, and I responded in kind. No offense taken. The podcasts are simply more interesting when there is a lot more dialogue going on. I also talk better when I'm explaining something to an actual person rather than to a microphone. Sadly, it takes a lot of time to do these things due to the data transfer times and internet connectivity issues, not to mention recording issues. If I had a few Crystal fans here in town, which is, for those of you listening, around Seattle, I'd love to do a podcast at some point where it's us in a room and we can eliminate a lot of those problems because we're all talking into the same microphone. And you're very welcome for the 3D art mention. The technical experience is good, but I also appreciate the effort that people put into their work. An okay artist who works really hard on a piece can reap the benefits of a great artist just by spending a little extra time. With regard to weirdness, technically I've never met any non-weird people. A few boring people, yes, but normal people, they just don't exist. Everyone's weird to some degree. I have been thinking about what type of suit I would work with, and mostly I've been focusing on the technical aspects of the suit rather than what character it will emulate. I've been thinking about how to make mechanical tails, heads-up displays using camera systems instead of eye holes, and various other high-tech parts. I'm basically reinventing the wheel, looking at the fursuit from the perspective of a technologist who has never built one before. I've also been inspired by Iron Man, the movie, and also things prior to that that resembled the technology in the movie, with regard to the mechanical suits and assistive technologies. But then, I've always been interested in cybernetics and robotics. A fursuit provides a great opportunity to provide an artistic face to a technical challenge. Otherwise, I'm a big fan of anthroids or cyberfurs. And so if I were to do a fursuit, it would probably be one along those lines. Something with semi-mechanical looking parts, or something that resembles a bio-android. And so to see some really good examples of this type, look at the artist name, and I cannot pronounce their name, but it's Strivia, or Ixtia, E-X-T-V-I-A, which they can be found on their DeviantArt page, E-X-T-V-I-A.deviantart.com. They have the most amazing anthroid pictures I've ever seen. All right, enough of those long emails. Let's go to some shorter ones. Furiox, I've really apologized, everyone. I cannot pronounce your names. You know what? In the future, when you email me, also send me with your email how to pronounce your username, because I just keep butchering them. All right, let's see. It says, Furiox writes, recently, I have found something else out about Star Fox. You may have heard about this, or maybe even noticed it yourself. So I was recently playing through Star Fox Command again and noticed that Panther's name is spelled Panther Caruso. However, I'm pretty sure in Star Fox Assault, it is spelled Panther Caruso with an O. So, also, I know for sure that in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Panther's trophy is spelled Caruso, and in the Easter egg, in the stage Lilac Cruise, he introduces himself as Panther Caruso. Is this just a minor error? Am I totally wrong? Could you help me out investigating this? Thanks. My response was that was a good catch. And there are more occurrences of the Caruso spelling. Here's what Arwingopedia says about it. In Assault, Panther's last name is spelled Caruso, and when spoken by Panther, it is also pronounced this way. However, in the pilot gallery and the official website for the more recent Command, his surname is Caruso with a U. In the Japanese versions of both games, his surname is Caloroso, which is Spanish for warm, hot, energetic, and enthusiastic. So the differences was probably caused by the fact that the letters L and R are represented by R in Japanese. Flaked writes, hi there. I'm just emailing you to let you know that the Crystal Archives is an absolutely wonderful resource for Crystal Star Fox and anthropomorphic fans alike. I honestly just stumbled upon this website searching for Star Fox art because I love the Star Fox series, and I found it to be a well-thought-out and organized site. I've seen many other Star Fox / Crystal fan site, and I must say, yours stands out considerably. I currently am listening to all of the podcasts, and I'm very happy to see that you will continue to do them. Keep up the amazing work. And I responded, thank you very much. You know, I'm glad you enjoy what I can provide you. Next, Nero Nova writes, I found your site 3 years ago, and I was like, a place just for Crystal? Yes! And I am so glad that for my pick of Crystal to even make the... I'm so glad that my picture made it into the Crystal Archive fan art section. And thank you to your site. Thanks to your site. Sorry. I recently decided to try and make some 3D pictures, just like many people are currently doing. And today I finally made a great amount of progress and created a fairly good pic of her. Anyway, thanks to your site and all the people who helped too, of course. Another thankful email. Thank you very much. You're very welcome, and I'm glad you enjoy. Lilat Warrior writes, if Crystal was in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, or if a possible in a future possible Smash Bros. Game, Would she be faster than Fox, or weaker, or faster, or fast as Fox, but slightly stronger or tougher than him? She was asking for my opinion on that subject. I said that I imagine that Crystal would be slightly faster, and have a slightly higher jumping ability than Fox. However, her lighter build would also mean she gets thrown further when hit. Her attacks would probably be faster, but weaker than Fox, or maybe... Perhaps her physical attacks would be fast and weak, but her magic-based distance attacks would be slower, but much stronger. AJC3000 Fox writes, "Why do you think the R-Wings change so dramatically from Adventures to Assault? And in the next game, what do you think, or who do you think, the next main boss will be?" I responded that, as I understand it, the R-Wings changed from in Star Fox 64 to Adventures because the team was running out of money. And just like, not just the R-Wings, but the Great Fox itself was falling into disrepair. Only Slippy was able to keep them running. But with the money they got from their first Saurian mission, presumably they fixed up all their ships and significantly modified it, all of them, in time for... a year later when Star Fox Assault happened. As for the next big game boss, I don't know. Somehow it will probably be Andross or some variation thereof. I mean, a lot of the Star Fox games have Andross as the main villain, or indirect villain. Then again, it could be anything. Maybe Starwolf will undergo some mysterious transformation and become a giant mutated four-headed space monster. Who knows? I sure don't. He also wrote later, "I don't want to come off as rude, but I couldn't help but notice that on one of your podcasts you say that Crystal is 21 in Assault when she is in fact 26. Well, in issues of canon, I hold the upper hand, sir, because I responded that Crystal was 19 at the time of Adventures, as you can see on the official Japanese site for Star Fox Adventures. And according to the Star Fox Assault Instruction Manual, only 1 year has passed since Adventures occurred at the time of Star Fox Assault, and this is further confirmed by Wikipedia. Thus, Crystal is age 20 in Assault. If I said 21, I was mistaken. She is definitely not 26. Dublin Fox writes, "If Crystal's staff was from Serenia, how come the switches on Soria could be activated by it? Is Serenia related to Soria, or is there some other? Is this yet another plot hole that Nintendo will never really tell us?" I responded that I don't know if Crystal's staff is from Serenia, though it would make sense. It's probably not from Soria, since Crystal would have had to discover it within minutes of arriving on Soria, just to fit the plot. I mean, it did have her holographic message inside it, and that couldn't be done really fast. That had to have taken some time to do. Anyway, as for why it can do all these things, it's just a game. We do know that her staff is magical, and Adventure has tons of plot holes. Perhaps, in this case, we could just say that the staff has magic lockpicking powers. Dan writes, "Congratulations on episode 24 of the Crystal Archive podcast. It's always nice to see a new episode coming out, and each one calls for a celebration because they are so far apart. I understand not having that much time on your hands to do everything, and I can relate. After hearing episode 24, I have to say that the podcast has improved quite a bit. The editing and overall quality has gone up and up. However, I think you could use a few, and I think they're called sweepers, which you add in between segments. Change topic, soundbite. It would help with those awkward pauses just a little bit and add some character interaction that would make the show more appealing to a wider audience, like those who just want to be entertained, not just informed. Also, I am curious, what does it take to be on the Crystal Archive podcast? Star Fox Runner was a great new addition to the new show, and he gave a much-needed dose of comical relief. However, 3 or 4 hosts seems to be the magic numbers with these type of podcasts. Do you think I would ever be able to participate in this show? I know it would complicate things a little bit more, but once there are those 3 to 4 hosts, we can have an actual discussion of the current news with everyone giving their 2 bits. and it will make the show a lot more interesting and entertaining. Plus, it will give me something to do except gaming. I would appreciate it. I responded that, thanks for the compliments and advice. I will take that into consideration. I need to get back into doing the background music, but also section changing soundbite would be an excellent idea. I'll have to investigate what I can use for those. Star Fox Runner was on the show because he's a good friend I've known for a very long time, and we've tried to do a podcast together before, but they hadn't worked out. I've often done guest hosts with fellow contributors to the site, which are sometimes few and far between, and by that I mean people who actively assist in the site. There aren't that many of them. I don't know how likely it is for me to do another guest host podcast. I will try, I'll say that. But they take a very long time to edit. However, if you or someone else lived nearby, we could actually be in the same room or something, and that would, you know, remove the issues, and that would make guest hosting much more doable. And that's all the questions I have, questions and comments. So let's just wrap it up. If you have any comments and questions, you just feel free to email them to me at mrcrystal@gmail.com. This has been the episode 25 of the Crystal Archive podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed. It's gone a lot faster than I thought it would, because even though we had a ton of news, I went through it really fast. And I'm just glad to be back on the horse, you know, after taking such a long break to work on thesis and other stuff. I'm finally back to doing the stuff I really enjoy doing. And so hopefully the podcast won't be so spread out in the future. And with that, I thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Mr. Crystal, signing off.